Greetings to the brightest audience in the country. I am Bob Inyart, the pastor of Denver Bible Church. We just received a link to a video clip online from Comedy Central's The Daily Show with Jon Stewart. And it turns out that this clip has Bob Inyart and Doug McBurney in it. But I think the audio is only what you hear from Jon Stewart. So I'd like to play you the audio. It's about a minute clip. And then I'd like to talk through an episode of a sexually vulgar TV program, a franchise, a series. But this episode is not sexually vulgar. So while watching the TV show Law and Order apparently is rather dangerous and twice as much for men, there was an episode that aired Friday night that we're calling the personhood episode of Law and Order. And it was radically pro-personhood from arguments and statements throughout the one-hour episode. And I'll quote to you from the dialogue on that show. But first, oh, by the way, the storyline is a late-term abortionist gets killed at church on Sunday morning, and they say that the show is fictional and it's not based on any person or event. So, okay, but this is, it's quite a show, guys. I think you're going to be blown away by it. But first, we have the audio. Let's hear this from Jon Stewart, and he makes a crude remark about JonBenet Ramsey, who was murdered. But he's doing so mocking the pro-O.J. Simpson crowd that was in Los Angeles after O.J.'s memorabilia was auctioned. The sheriff, the court, the judge ruled that O.J.'s property would be seized and auctioned and the money go to the victims and their families. And so that happened, including to the Goldman family. Ron Goldman, who was murdered. And we went out there, kgov.com, 10 of us, Doug McBurney, Bob Inyart, and we went to the auction. We spent over $15,000. We purchased O.J. Simpson's Hall of Fame Award, his jerseys that he had signed and framed hanging in his home, Heisman Trophy, you know, that stuff, his NFL jersey. And we bought all that stuff, and the next day at noon, high noon, we burned it all on the steps of the L.A. courthouse. And so that went all over the world. It was the largest single-event press conference in the history of the L.A. courthouse. And to light a fire, and you'll see in the video, if you go to our homepage, kgov.com, you can see the video right at the top of the homepage. And you'll see the flames were pretty dramatic. And to get permission in Los Angeles to burn something downtown, we hear is almost impossible. And, of course, forget about burning something at the courthouse, on the steps of the L.A. courthouse. Well, we were all over the news. It was so significant when we purchased the material the night before at auction, the memorabilia. The next day, we got in a taxi cab, and we were all wearing our T-shirts, kgov.com, shadowgov.com, black T-shirts with the website. We get into a taxi cab, and I say, and we had to get into two or three taxi cabs, there were 10 of us, and they all pulled up outside our hotel. And I said, well, we want to go to, and the taxi cab driver interrupted me and said, oh, you don't have to tell me. I know where you're going. You're going to City Hall. You guys are all over the news. So he took us to City Hall, and we had to get permission from the fire marshal and the chief justice to burn something at the courthouse. And the fire marshal said, you can't burn anything in L.A. What do you want to burn? And Doug McBurney said, we want to burn O.J. Simpson's memorabilia. We just bought it at auction. He said, where do I sign? You guys can burn whatever you want. Where do I sign? And the Chief Justice said the exact same thing. So we did what was impossible, we were told, to get a burning permit, an open fire permit, for downtown Los Angeles at the courthouse in 3 hours. So let's hear, this is from John Stewart. He showed the video that was picked up off of one of the news outlets. It was all over, like I said, the country, all over the world.
I still know what you did last summer. Just one day after the OJ auction, Bob Enyart, a Christian talk show host who bought $16,000 worth of the murderer's tchotchkes, burned them in front of a crowd of angry pro-murderers on the steps of the Los Angeles Criminal Court building to protest OJ's acquittal. Take that, bad jersey. There's one piece of athletic apparel that will never again subvert the American criminal justice system. This man claims that destroying this trophy must mean he loves it very much. Enyart's extremely vocal detractors included these two men who showed up to scream out in support of OJ but had to leave early to attend the third annual JonBenet Deserved What She Got rally. According to the Associated Press, OJ said he wondered about the mentality of people burning up $16,000 that could be used for social programs or medical causes, like, say, finding a cure for 80 stab wounds. And those were headlines.
Actually, that Associated Press article that quoted OJ, he said, what a waste. That money could have gone for a battered women's shelter. And that same article also quoted me responding to OJ, saying, OJ Simpson wants to beat up women and have us pay for their care. He has no shame. He's a murderer. He's a wife beater and a murderer. So that story went all over the world. And by the way, I haven't burned anything since then, have I? Oh, Alana Goldman? Okay. Other than Alana Goldman, that's some video on YouTube. And we've aired that here in Denver recently. Bob and Yurt Live airs Friday and Saturday nights, Channel 53. Other than Alana Goldman, you could YouTube, just search Alana, I-L-A-N-A, Goldman, and it comes right up. Other than Alana Goldman, I don't think we burned anything since OJ. All right. Now we have, oh, and if you want to see that, go to kgov.com. And for a day or so, it'll be on our homepage. And then after that, you'll have to look for October 26th, 2009, for this show. And the show title, it's about the Law and Order Personhood episode. All right, it aired Friday night, and the story is based on this deceased abortionist in real life, George Tiller, from Wichita, who was murdered at church, and they do the story in Law and Order, only they say it was in New York City, and that's understandable. Well, it's been 20 years now since this NBC franchise has been airing, 2 decades. And they've produced about 900 episodes. Now, 2 years into America's personhood movement, 2 years, and Law and Order produced their first ever overtly pro-life episode. Just research, just Google Law and Order and abortion, and they are overwhelmingly, radically, hardcore pro-abortion for 20 years. 2 years into America's resurgent personhood movement, Law and Order produces their first ever overtly, powerfully pro-life episode. Now, I'll give you some of the quotes from the episode. There are regular characters who appear every show, apparently, and there are guests. And on Friday night, Cheryl and I, we have not been a big TV family. For the first 10 years of our marriage, we didn't own a TV. And then we put in a TV when America went to war. And just recently, as in a few months ago, a dear friend came over and hooked up something so we could record TV shows. So Friday night, I get a call from a pro-lifer back east. Says, Bob, you've got to see this Law and Order episode. It's airing tonight. And then I get emails from pro-life leaders around the country saying this show, Dignity, is a must-see for pro-lifers. And so we will link to that show. You could watch it from our website, kgov.com. We will link to this episode. There's no vulgarity. There's no nudity. There's no soft porn, as is apparently typical for Law and Order. And we recommend you watch the show. But not if you're easily addicted, because it's a dangerous show for people to watch because it's so filthy. Now, there's a character on the show, a district attorney named Connie. And this will give you a sense of what was broadcast. Connie says, I grew up thinking Roe v. Wade was gospel. But now, I don't know where my privacy ends and another being's dignity begins. That's pretty significant. Another district attorney, I realize there's one district attorney, then there are all of his lawyers who work for him. And so whoever they are, sorting them all out. There's another district attorney named Cutter, and he actually is quoting real world surveys when he says this in the show. He says, the tide has turned. Most Americans are pro-life now. And, of course, that's undoubtedly one of the reasons why Law and Order did this personhood episode, because NBC is desperate for ratings. You know, newspapers, network audiences, they're shrinking. In fact, just this past week, the ratings for a basic cable program, basic cable, just beat NBC's The Leno Show. The Jay Leno Show. How's that one? So NBC is desperate for ratings, and the surveys show most Americans are pro-life. So I'm not saying that the producers of Law and Order or the actors or actresses have now had a change of heart, but you know what they would not have done? They certainly would not have done an hour presenting overwhelmingly racist or anti-Semitic messages in the mouths of their own characters. They wouldn't have done that. So this first ever pro-life Law and Order episode is culturally significant. The goal of the personhood movement is to influence the culture. Do you know how many times I heard Keith Mason say that at Personhood USA? And Guabe, Garcia Jones, Gualberto, who's a co-sponsor of Colorado's Personhood Amendment. And do you know they quoted Guabe in the episode? They quoted Guabe in this Law and Order episode. Now, they didn't name him, but they quoted him. After George Tiller was murdered at church, the producers decide that they're going to do an abortionist, a late-term abortionist was murdered episode. So, of course, the writers and producers start researching, and they would go to Google, and they'd Google the abortion battle. And they'd especially go to Google News, because that's where you find out what's in the news regarding whatever topic. So news.google.com. And who has had all the headlines for the past 2 years? It's the personhood movement. It's Keith Mason and Cal Zastro and Guabe and Leslie Hanks and Brian Rohrbaugh, American Right to Life. So the producers are combing the Denver-based pro-life websites absolutely unmistakably. And I'll give you one example. If you go to the top of personhoodcolorado.com, there are two videos at personhoodcolorado.com right at the top. The one is a TV commercial with Maria Lancaster and her snowflake child she adopted. Stunning video, brilliant concept commercial. You got to see that. But right on the top of the site is video from the press conference held to launch Colorado's 2010 Personhood Amendment. And Guabe, we lovingly refer to him as Guabe, Gualberto Garcia Jones, is holding his newborn son, precious little boy. And he says, 2 weeks ago, My son had fewer rights than a dog or a cat. And that is so powerful because no pro-abortion spokesman in the country can disagree with that, not one. When you have arguments that the enemy cannot rebut, when you have silenced them, that is what the Lord Jesus Christ called irresistible wisdom. That is what Stephen exemplified when he was speaking to the religious leaders in the book of Acts. Irresistible wisdom. And so Guabe says, 2 weeks ago, my son had fewer rights than a dog or a cat. No pro-abort could disagree with that. Do you know that statement comes up in this Law and Order episode? The executive assistant district attorney, Michael Cutter, he says, my God, don't you realize that dogs and cats have more rights than unborn children? The district attorney, who is probably the most well-known person from Law and Order, I don't know, do I have his real-life name here? His name on the show is Jack McCoy. And Jack McCoy, when another attorney says in New York we'll probably get a pro-abortion jury, he says, hey, I wouldn't be so sure about that. Jack McCoy says, my own daughter was pro-choice until she saw a sonogram of her unborn child. I used to expect that champions of human rights would claim some rights for the unborn. I don't expect that anymore. Do you get that? He's saying those people who champion human rights, like what, the ACLU? Huh. He said, I used to expect that champions of human rights would claim some rights for the unborn. I don't expect that anymore. It doesn't happen. And so when this district attorney, Michael Cutter, said that dogs and cats have more rights than the unborn child, my jaw just hit the floor. My wife Cheryl and I'm so thankful so many pro-lifers contacted us to watch this episode. We were stunned. I mean, Brian and Lisa Rohrbaugh spoke at a medical ethics conference, a major neonatal medical ethics conference at Memorial Hospital in Colorado Springs, Colorado, in front of 200 OBGYNs, some abortionists, people who do, you know, neonatal OBGYN services provide for pregnant mothers and babies who end up in the intensive care unit. And they spoke, and it was simply the most powerful talk this decade, the most powerful talk given in the country this decade. Law and Order took their story of their little Joshua Lee, a baby they had, in Law and Order. Of course, they shrunk it down. In the 1 hour, they told six stories in 1 hour. Law and Order took their story of their son and told their story. And it was absolutely stunning. Now, how do I know this was not a national right to life, Jay Sekulo, AUL episode? Wouldn't it be them? You think it'd be them, right? Well, that pro-life industry, they have exceptions. They have exceptions. They say, well, you can kill this baby or this baby or this baby. We support laws that kill all these kids, and we support politicians who advocate killing all these kids. So they have plenty of exceptions. You could fill a school bus with their exceptions every hour. Fill a school bus with their exceptions every hour. But one of the characters on Law and Order, he's a black guy. He's a detective. He's a big guy. A big guy. What is his name in the show? His name is Detective Kevin Bernard. So Detective Bernard. And they're talking about rape. And there's a pro-abort on the show who's pro-choice because women get raped. And National Right to Life, they couldn't object to that because all of their heroes have that position. All of their heroes think that a baby whose father is a criminal can be put to death legally. So Detective Kevin Bernard says, you got it exactly backwards. The rape is the horrible thing. The rape is the horrible thing, not the child. And he says, you know, that unborn child, that unwanted child could be the one to cure cancer. That one that you think is okay to kill. So this show, it even has these anti-regulation, anti-exception elements, and they're in the mouths of their regular characters. You get that? It's not just a guest appearance of some pro-life activist saying these things. Their own characters are saying these things. This is a culturally significant show. They depict two abortionists. Two late-term abortionists are in the video. The first one gets murdered in church in the first minute of the show. The second one testifies in court against the guy who murdered the abortionist. Law and Order depicts both abortionists as criminals, both of them. Not only abortionists, they depict them as immoral, as fanatics. They call the one who's still alive an extremist. And the one who was murdered and now dead, the deceased abortionist, in the show, they show that he is guilty of infanticide. They say that this late-term abortionist, they spoke to a nurse who quit the clinic. And this nurse is actually a composite figure. She's actually a composite figure. The writers drew upon Dr. Beverly McMillan, who was an abortionist, who repented, and they drew upon pro-lifer Jill Stanek, jillstanek.com, who was a nurse, pro-life, and she saw that after a baby would survive an abortion, Christ Hospital in Chicagoland, they would kill the baby, or simply they'd leave the baby to die. They wouldn't feed the baby, no medical care. So they're guilty of murder. Oh, and also Brenda Pratt Schaefer, another nurse. So the woman on the show is a composite of these heroes. And the nurse quit because the doctor, the late-term abortionist who was murdered at church, she said he botched an abortion late-term. He was injecting the poison into the baby's sac, but he missed. It went into the uterus, the mother's uterus. She went into labor. The baby was delivered alive, and he went ahead and took a scalpel and stabbed the baby in the back of the neck and killed it. And the Law and Order regulars say, that's murder. He murdered a child. And they figure out they're going to have to report this as a, you know, a separate crime. And so the two late-term abortionists who are on the show, they depict them both as extremists, as fanatics, as criminals who break the law to do late-term abortion, even our wicked laws they break. And the deceased late-term abortionist, who's based on George Tiller, they show that he's guilty even of infanticide, killing a baby after he was born. And the show goes on and on and on. It doesn't, I've just shared with you, I'd say, a third of the dramatic pro-life statements in the program. The pro-life group, the activists who are outside of the late-term abortionist clinic, you'd think they would present them as a deranged domestic terrorist, right? No, they're heroes in the show. The clinic worker inside the clinic, she says to the cops, she says, could you believe it? The pro-lifers held the shooter until the police arrived. And the black Law and Order detective, he said, yeah, I can believe that. Yeah, because they're law-abiding. And what you're telling me is this abortionist you work for, he breaks the law, he broke the law every day. I mean, he was the criminal. They're law abiding. Yeah, I believe that. I believe that they would hold. So they made the pro-life activists who were protesting on the street, they presented them as law abiding and not advocates of the murder of an abortionist. It was absolutely stunning. And the nurse who quit, the show develops this little thread where they think she quit because the pro-life protesters threatened her. Like they threatened to harm her or something. That's the story the abortion clinic tells. So the detectives went to talk to her, and she said, no, I was never threatened by the pro-lifers. I quit because the abortionist killed that child after he was born. That's why I quit. The show simply goes on and on. The woman district attorney, Connie, she says, I cannot check my soul at the door when I come in to work. I cannot check my soul at the door when I come into work. I used to believe that Roe v. Wade was gospel, that a woman's privacy was inviolate. But after hearing the testimony about this baby who died in her mother's arms, I no longer know where my privacy ends and another being's dignity begins. I can't leave my soul at the door when I come in the morning. It goes on and on, folks. It's a culturally significant event, this personhood episode of Law & Order. Hey, may God bless you, and Maranatha, what a great school.